The following episode of K-Voice was recorded at 3:44 p.m., March 5th, 2017. Enjoy the show.
And I'd like to say to women out there everywhere, don't allow these right-wing talking heads, these dishonorable people, to intimidate you or scare you. Be who you are, do what you do, and let us get on with discussing the real issues of this country.
Russian boys, you're right.
I didn't hear a word she said. I was looking at the James Brown wig.
And we also know that when a woman stands up and speaks truth to power, that there will be attempts to put her down. And so I'm not going to be put down. I'm not going to go anywhere. I'm going to stay on the issue.
That was Hero of the Resistance, Maxine Waters, in her response to Bill, never met a hood he didn't like, O'Reilly. Trump has empowered the worst of America, and Fox Fake News is increasingly a hate network. Hello. Thank you for listening to my show, K-Voice. That's the letter K, Voice of the Resistance. Well, they did it. The Republicans sold our internet privacy to the highest bidder, overturning the United States Code of the rule submitted by the Federal Communications Commission relating to protecting the privacy of consumers of broadband and other telecommunications services. In response and in resistance, the website searchinternethistory.com is attempting to raise $1 million in order to put in bids to purchase the internet history of leading Republicans and FCC members. The first histories the site aims to buy are those of Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell, Republican of Kentucky, House Speaker Paul Ryan, Republican of Wisconsin, and Congresswoman Marsha Blackburn, Republican of Tennessee, and FCC Chair Ajit Pai. I've put a link to that campaign on my Facebook page at K-Voice of Resistance, if you're interested. Last time I checked, they had raised over $170,000. Max Temkin, creator of Cards Against Humanity, says he will pay for it himself. The question here is how to get those specific senators' IP addresses. And there's some speculation that that's going to be possible at all. H.R. 1431-115. This bill would revise the process by which the EPA, Environmental Protection Agency, chooses members for their Science Advocacy Board, SAB, as it relates to the qualifications of members and the disclosures they're required to make. The EPA would be required to solicit nominations for membership from the public and relevant federal agencies like the Departments of Agriculture, Defense, Energy, and Health and Human Services. Sure, let's take the scientists off the EPA's Science Advisory Board and instead bring in special interest. See, they don't need to abolish the EPA. They simply need to turn it into something else altogether. And that's happening quickly. These changes are not getting press. I talked Tuesday about the Honest Act, which restricts the EPA from using science that isn't publicly available or reproducible to justify its regulations. Seeing as the GOP has put a gag order on agencies making their studies or information available to the public, it further cripples the EPA. Speaking of the EPA, Scott, I never met a piece of environment I didn't want to slather in toxic chemicals and pave over, Pruitt, Trump's sarcastically chosen head of the EPA, just greenlit the use of a previously banned, widely used pesticide named, forgive me here, chlorpyrifos, known to lower children's IQs and cause autism. So you know, poisoning children. There's that. On Monday, Donald Trump signed an executive order that will allow federal contractors to discriminate against LGBTQ employees. The order revokes three previous orders issued by President Obama, excluding Executive Order 13673 or the Fair Pay and Safe Workplaces Order, signed in 2014. It required that companies receiving large federal contracts to demonstrate that they have complied for at least 3 years with federal laws prohibiting discrimination discrimination based on sexual orientation, gender identity, and gender stereotyping. In other LGBTQ news, on Tuesday, expectations that the 2020 census might start including LGBTQ subjects were raised and then quickly dashed after the U.S. Census admitted that it had inadvertently included sexual orientation and gender identity in a long-awaited report outlining new categories for the survey. In response, GLAAD CEO Sarah Kate Ellis branded the move as a systematic effort on behalf of the Trump administration to erase LGBTQ people. Out Magazine reports, last year, Democrats had pushed for more specific questions about sexual orientation and gender identity to improve results. The logic was simple. With more focused questions, lawmakers would be better equipped to ensure appropriate legislation to improve the lives of LGBTQ citizens. Although the Supreme Court in 2013 struck down the Defense of Marriage Act, paving the way for the census to change the way it tracks same-sex households. The White House has sent yet another powerful signal that it considers LGBTQ concerns as frivolous. This is what Megan Mowry, Criminal and Economic Justice Project Director and National LGBTQ Task Force, had to say about it. Quote, "Today, the Trump administration has taken yet another step to deny LGBTQ people freedom, justice, and equity by choosing to exclude us from the 2020 Census and American Community Survey. LGBTQ people are not counted on the census. No data is collected on sexual orientation or gender identity. Information from these surveys helps the government to enforce federal laws like the Violence Against Women Act and the Fair Housing Act, and to determine how to allocate resources like housing supports and food stamps. If the government doesn't know how many LGBTQ people live in a community, how can it do its job and ensure we are getting fair and adequate access to the rights, protections, and services we need? We call on President Trump and his administration to begin collecting sexual orientation and gender identity data on the American Community Survey as soon as possible, and urge Congress to conduct oversight hearings to reveal why the administration made the last-minute decision not to collect the data on LGBTQ people." Unquote. Dun-da-da-da! A new Gallup poll came out. Trump's approval is 35%. Pathetic. That is lower than Reagan during Iran-Contra, Bush after Katrina, and lower than Nixon during Watergate. That is lower than any president ever since polling began. Can we get him out yet? Our president, in his desperate and petulant need to ameliorate his jealousy of his widely popular and successful predecessor, has furthered his war on overturning all things Obama. On Tuesday, our child-in-chief squeezed behind a comically small desk and signed the executive order which directed the Environmental Protection Agency to start the complex and lengthy process of withdrawing and rewriting the Obama era Clean Power Plan, a sweeping executive order ordering his cabinet to start demolishing a wide array of Obama-era policies on global warming, including emissions rules and power plants, limits on methane leaks, and a moratorium on federal coal leasing and the use of the social cost of carbon to guide government actions, which would have closed hundreds of coal-fired plants, frozen construction of new plants, and replaced them with vast new wind and solar farms and jobs. Stopping in its tracks the job boon from clean energy, instead opting for dwindling jobs in the soon-to-be-obsolete coal industry. What few jobs are left in the industry that have not been automated? Black lung lovers of the world rejoice. You know, once upon a time, horse-drawn carriages were a booming business and provided jobs. Once cars came about, however, those who made carriages moved on to new jobs. That is how the industry works. The coal jobs are not coming back, and no amount of photo ops is going to change that. The Republican war on the environment is not a new one and will not end soon, and we will all be casualties of it. Even the coal miners are not beneficiaries of this deal, as they lost any potential of getting clean air and energy jobs to replace their outmoded coal jobs. Our esteemed leader has not said he will withdraw from the Paris Climate Accords, which, overall, the goal of the Paris Climate Deal was to keep the planet from warming warming more than 3.6 degrees. The point, which scientists say, the Earth will become irrevocably locked into a future of droughts, floods, rising sea levels, and food shortages. You know, no big thing. But by undermining the regulations required to reach that goal, it is as good as done. This also allows China to move forward as the world clean energy leader, giving them greater prominence on the world stage. It was Nixon who, for all his staggering faults, started the EPA.
The great question of the 70s is, shall we surrender to our surroundings? Or shall we make our peace with nature? And begin to make reparations for the damage we have done to our air, to our land, and to our water.
Nixon goes on to say, quote, restoring nature to its natural state is a cause beyond party and beyond factions. It has become common cause of all people in this country. It is cause of particular concern to young Americans because they, more than we, will reap the grim consequences of our failure to act on programs which are needed now if we are to prevent disaster later. Clean air, clean water, open spaces, these should once again be the birthright of every American. If we act now, they can be. We still think the air is free, but clean air is not free, and neither is clean water. The price tag on pollution control is high. Through the years of past carelessness, we incurred a debt to nature, and now that debt is being culled. Unquote. Remarkable words coming from a Republican, and they ring true today. His actions were a reaction. The Cuyahoga River had burst into flames, while the Potomac stunk from hundreds of millions of gallons of waste added to its waters every single day. Time reports, dirty water was only one ingredient. At the close of the 1960s, the United States could not escape the fact, as Time put it in 1968, quote, the relentless degradations of a once virgin continent, unquote. The evidence was right in front of citizens' faces. Pollution had gotten bad enough to be undeniable, and science had become advanced enough to make the reasons why clear. In 1963, smog had killed 400 New Yorkers, and Lake Erie's oxygen content had become so depleted that the center of the lake sustained precious little life. An oil spill off the California coast in 1969 coated 400 square miles with slime and killed hundreds of birds. And scientists announced that auto exhaust was at high enough levels in some places that it could cause birth defects. The city of St. Louis smelled, as one resident put it, like an old-fashioned drugstore on fire. So where does the resistance come in? The executive orders are just that. They are an order. According to Vox, overturning everything Obama has done on climate will be difficult, however. Some rules, like the fuel economy standards, can only be weakened, not killed entirely. Other regulatory rollbacks may get thwarted by federal judges, and Congress will have final say over the EPA's budget. With even some Republicans now balking at the steep cuts Trump has been entertaining to clean energy programs. And that is where we come in. For the next year, the courts will be in battle. They will need our support. Not to mention, we must stay on Congress to push them to save the EPA and, at the very least, maintain current standards and regulations. The good news is, U.S. utilities are increasingly moving away from coal and towards cleaner and often cheaper sources, such as gas, wind, and solar. That shift will almost certainly continue no matter what the White House does. And the Republicans can't stop some states from joining the war against the environment. Some states are ran by adults. The entire West Coast, ever on the forefront of the resistance, have come out against the president's rollbacks and more. 8 West Coast leaders penned a response to our toddler-in-chief's EPA rollbacks, saying, quote, as the governors of Washington, Oregon, and California, and the mayors of Seattle, Portland, San Francisco, Oakland, and Los Angeles, we speak today in support of the Clean Power Plan. We speak in unified opposition to the idea of any decision by the president to limit our region's economic opportunities or our commitment to doing what is right to make our cities and states cleaner and healthier for future generations. Unquote. Isn't that awesome? The group disputed the president's repeated statements that the environmental protections are causing job loss, saying, quote, there's no question that to act on climate is to act in our economic best interest. Through expanded climate policies, we have grown jobs and expanded our economies while cleaning our air. Unquote. But But, you know, what does California know? It's only the sixth largest economy in the world. California in particular appears to be ready to lead on the environment. Last week, California's Air Resources Board adopted new, stricter standards following the Trump administration's changes to ease fuel economy standards. Because California's standards are the basis of the standards for 13 other states, these actions may set up a fight between the states and the federal government if Trump does not continue the way that allows California to set stricter standards.
Democracy looks like.
This is what democracy looks like.
Show me what democracy looks like.
This is what democracy looks like.
Show me what democracy looks like.
This is what democracy looks like.
Protest, protest, protest while it's still legal. Since the election, lawmakers in at least 18 states have introduced or voted on legislations to curb mass protest in what civil liberties experts are calling, quote, an attack on protest rights throughout the states, unquote. The Washington Post reports laws range from increased punishments for blocking highways, banning the use of masks during protest, protections for drivers who strike protesters with their cars, and in at least one case, to seize the assets of people involved in protest later turned violent, even if those protesters were not involved in the violence. These fine legislators say the laws are necessary to counter the actions of paid or professional protesters. I'm sorry, I have not received my paycheck for the protest I have attended. Have you? I'm getting real sick of this paid protester BS they are throwing around. In defending a measure that would bring racketeering charges against some protesters, John Kavanaugh, Republican of Arizona, said, quote, "You now have a situation where you have full-time quasi-professional agent provocateurs that attempt to create public disorder," unquote. There are bills in states like Oklahoma and South Dakota that are intended to discourage protesting related to oil pipelines. These legislators are threatened by us, by our numbers, by our passion, by our moral high ground. And it is not simply the red states. Protesters in New York City are familiar with the NYPD camera teams that film protest by groups like Occupy Wall Street and Black Lives Matter, and have done so for the last 6 years. But documents obtained by The Verge show the alarming frequency with which these cameras have been deployed. These job reports, produced by Freedom of Information Act request originally on part of the New York attorney David Thompson of Steklo Cohen and Thompson, covered over 400 instances of NYPD's Technical Assistance Response Unit, TARU, attending and recording video of protest since 2011. Joseph Guyaclone, a retired NYPD detective sergeant and professor at John Jay College's Law, Police Science, and Criminal Justice Administration Department, has a justification. Liberal activists are radicals and more likely to be criminals. Quote, "The same folks on Occupy Wall Street turned into Black Lives Matter and now into anti-Trump. They're radicals, so we can make a pretty strong argument that something criminal may happen. No one is videotaping old geezers in wheelchairs protesting about trees or Roe v. Wade activists standing in front of a clinic. People can't go out and do whatever they want. Otherwise, we'd have anarchy, which is what I think a lot of these groups actually want," unquote. That guy's a professor. Just like the laws are intended to do, these cameras are intended to scare people away from protesting. And no legal justification for the recordings was produced. We can't let these fear tactics stop us from standing up for what is right. Once again, the courts are on our side. Lee Rowland, a senior attorney with the American Civil Liberties Union, said, quote, "The Supreme Court has gone out of its way on multiple occasions to point out that the streets, sidewalks, and public parks are places where the First Amendment protections are at their most robust," unquote. But the threat is there, and we must assert our rights whenever and wherever we can. More than 1,500 peaceful protesters were arrested in Russia this week for protesting Putin. Let that be a warning to us all. JFK said, "Those who make peaceful revolution impossible will make violent revolution inevitable." If you're for want of actions to take in the resistance, ask the House Committee on Oversight and the Government Reform to investigate conflicts of interest in Trump's business empire. Don't call. Go to http://oversight.house.gov/whistle. Put in White House corruption in the subject line. Direct your posts at Chairman Chaffetz. Chaffetz is a conservative Mormon. He often speaks for the need of moral government. Don't come across left. Say, this is a compelling moral issue for the country. Use terms he'll recognize from his Mormon beliefs, such as, you have a moral obligation to your country and to your LDS testimony. The word testimony is key. I posted a link to my Facebook page at K Voice of Resistance if you would like to take that action. If you see stories that are normalizing the Trump regime, see if the reporter has an email listed. If they do, send the reporter an email about it. Email and call smartly. Don't wear your partisanship on your sleeve. It makes you less effective. If you are calling about renewable energy, say, America needs the jobs renewable energy brings, and wind and solar entrepreneurs deserve our support. If you are calling to push Congress to investigate Trump's shady business deals, say, Congress has a moral responsibility to do this. Quote the Bible. It carries weight with these gents. Don't be a free press freeloader. Give your money to National Public Radio and the New York Times or the Washington Post, and importantly, your local newspaper. Pay for premium subscriptions. Keep up with new actions as they are posted and take them and spread them. Tell your slacktivist friends to put up or shut up. You know who they are. The friend who comes to dinner and screams about the world but has never made a phone call, sent an email, donated or volunteered on a campaign, or written a letter to the editor. If you're not willing to act, you aren't permitted to complain. Turn Facebook anger into real action. Every time you post an article or a meme on Facebook, bellyaching about Trump or the Republicans, take real action. Email an elected official or the White House. Twitter has gone on record saying it would consider banning Trump if he violated their terms of service regarding abuse. Hold them to that. Make a pledge now to volunteer for a 2018 campaign and keep that pledge. Visit your congressional office. If it's the GOP, dress up, be polite, wear a flag pin, and tell them to uphold family values. If it's on the Democratic side, talk to the staff and ask them what they need you to do to get involved, and tell them you are willing to help. Keep an activist diary. Sure, we are mad as hell now, but we won't be as mad in 6 months, so record your actions. When you see yourself slacking off, oops, no entries for a whole month, get back on the email, phone, letter writing horse. On issues you really care about, don't just call your GOP senator. Ask to speak to a staff person who handles that issue. Don't just rant at them. Engage in actual conversation. Try to be persuasive. Concerned about climate change? Write a letter to your local TV station and tell them you would like their weatherman or woman to incorporate climate change into their weather coverage. Feeling rage? Then rage donate to your favorite Trump-fighting organizations. Before I go.
I would bomb the shit out of them.
The United States launched more airstrikes in Yemen this month than during all of last year. On March 17th alone, the U.S. killed 112 civilians in Mosul. The New York Times reports, 2 months after the inauguration of President Trump, indications are mounting that the United States military is deepening its involvement in a string of complex wars in the Middle East that lack clear endgames. The New York Review of Books said, quote, the most startling example may be occurring in Yemen, where the U.S. is intervening with almost no public discussion, debate in Congress, or even, as Western diplomats told me, coordination with NATO allies, unquote. They go on to say, the most disturbing discussion to date revolves around the U.S. military being allowed to create free fire zones in which the U.S. forces could target and bomb potential enemies without regard to civilian casualties or damage to economic infrastructure. The most disturbing discussion to date revolves around the U.S. military being allowed to create free fire zones in which the U.S. forces could target and bomb potential enemies without regard to civilian casualties or damage to economic infrastructure, a stark repudiation of counterterrorism rules set down by Obama and Bush administrations. We must never lose sight of this. Lives are being lost, scores of them. Our resistance to Trump is not simply for our own well-being in the United States, it is for the lives of countless innocent people. Rehearsal is over, folks. This bloody campaign is not getting press due to the clownish flea circus that is the Washington show. Learn and spread the word about this foreign policy. Then call, write, and protest. Our checks and balances may render him largely inept here in the U.S., but he has unilateral power in foreign policy, and make no mistake, his terrorism overseas will come back at us and lead to attacks on our shores. As Charlie Pierce of Esquire said, quote, opening free fire zones in an area of the world which we already have built up substantial reservoirs of hate and distrust isn't like throwing gasoline on a fire, it is like throwing a fire into a powder magazine, unquote.
I would bomb the shit out of him.
You can't say he didn't warn us. Thank you for listening to my show, K-Voice of the Resistance, on your favorite podcasting app or on crabdiving.com. Like my Facebook page at K-Voice of Resistance, follow me on Twitter at Kelly the Voice, and like and share my podcast. If you could leave me a review, it would help me get my show out there. Help spread the word. Thanks for all the things you do, small or large, to resist. Together, we are really making a difference. Do something fun this weekend. I'm going to WonderCon, the comic book convention in Anaheim, so I will be geeking out to get away from it all for a bit. Whatever you do, stay safe out there. And as always, resist.
Russian boys, damn, you're right.
I would bomb the shit out of him.
James Brown wig.
He's always been a loser.
I would bomb the shit out of him.
James Brown wig.
He has gotten the presidency by bullshitting.
Nevertheless, he persisted.
Loser.
Wig.
He has gotten the presidency by bullshitting.
I would bomb the shit out of him.